Laudetur Jesus Christus. Welcome to Vatican Radio's English service for South Asia. Our morning broadcast begins at 1:38 a.m. UTC on the 31 and 41 meter bands. This is repeated at 3 a.m. UTC on the 19 meter band. The evening broadcast begins at 3:28 p.m. UTC on the 19 and 41 meter bands and also in the digital DRM system on the 19 meter band.
Hello and welcome to our special program on the Year of Faith, The Faithful Witness, a series on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world.
I pray you'll be alright and watch us where we go and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer when we lose our way. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe.
You are listening to The Faithful Witness, our weekly feature based on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world. These are people who lived their ordinary lives in extraordinary ways. Their unique stories inspire us to be rooted in our faith. God calls each one of us today to inspire our brothers and sisters and to be witnesses of our faith. The faithful witness of this week is Father Gaurav Shroff, an American diocesan priest of Indian origin belonging to the Archdiocese of Atlanta. He was ordained a priest a month ago. Born and brought up in an upper caste Hindu family in India, Gaurav became a Catholic, attracted by the Gregorian music, and that too while he was still in the college. Later, pursuing his secular studies in the US, he listened to his inner prompting to follow his master more closely. In the second part of this interview today, Father Gaurav shares his journey of faith post-baptism. Our faithful witness of today, Father Gaurav Shroff, shares with us his faith experiences, especially since his baptism. Father Gaurav Shroff, welcome back to Vatican Radio. Last week, you shared with us your journey of faith to Catholic Church. Tell us now, what was your parents' response when you wanted to be baptized?
One of the most remarkable acts of love that I have experienced from them is allowing me the freedom to follow what I was experiencing, what was fulfilling my heart. They both, I had a very deep, long conversation with my father, one of the first adult conversations in a sense that I had with him. And he basically could not understand why I wanted to join the church. He said, you believe in Christ, that's fine. As Hinduism, God is manifest in so many different ways. Believe in Christ, you know, so why do you have to join a club? And I didn't have the vocabulary or the knowledge, but I was trying to articulate what the Eucharist means and what communion means and receiving Christ and being part of the visible body. And he basically said that he could not get himself to really believe in God because the evidence is too strong against it. There's too much evil in the world. There's too much suffering. But he envied people who had real faith. And that as long as this didn't interfere in my relationship with the family, that, you know, I could still participate in family gatherings and so on, then he had no objections. They both of them actually planned a year later to come to my baptism. Mm-hmm. But there was a death in the family very, very suddenly, just a few days before one of my uncles passed away. And so they couldn't attend the baptism itself, but they gave me permission to go ahead. In a sense, gave me their blessing.
So, and that happened in India?
This was in India. This was all in India. I was baptized on the 15th of August, 1994, at the Church of St. Peter's in Bandra, in a little chapel, with about maybe 15 or 16 of my good friends, Catholics, Hindus, Muslims. Our neighbor from our apartment in Cuff Parade was a Catholic family, and they served as my godparents.
Tell us now, what happens since your baptism?
Just summarizing a little bit. So I came to the States to study geology, and I ended up at the University of South Carolina. There's something about American college life that can be very seductive, partying and other things that go along with that. So for a few years, I kind of, I never doubted my faith or anything, but there was this compartmentalization of my life. And I had a sense that God was calling me to the priesthood, but I was like, no way, there's nothing doing. So I spent some time kind of running away, you know, putting God in a little box that was okay for Sundays, but not the rest of my life. But as I was working through my studies, I really had no idea of what I wanted to do with my life. And any time I really thought about it, the priesthood just kept coming back. The image that I use is of when you wake up in the morning, the alarm clock goes off, and then you put the snooze on, and then 10 minutes later it goes off again. It just kept going off. I still remember that I was out with a good friend of mine at a restaurant, and as we were checking out, the cashier said, "I know you from church," like she'd seen me around. "You should be a priest." I'm like, "What?" So it took a while. My compromise with God was, I'll teach. I've always wanted to teach, academic kind of background. And so I got a degree in religious studies and did a master's in the New Testament.
But you said you went for geology?
Yeah, after that. As I said, I avoided dealing with reality by keep studying, you know. It was really there in that study of the scriptures, interaction with several professors, one particular professor who's Eastern Orthodox, that I really, I think, had my intellectual conversion of really understanding the beauty of the faith, the teachings of the faith. And when I finished with that, I know I wanted to pursue the priesthood, but there was various things that had to be worked out. I had immigration issues to deal with, and I ended up working at the local campus ministry in South Carolina for several years as a lay campus minister, which was a great experience, a lot of great pastoral experience, but also a real kind of a sense of the challenges that the church in the United States faces. So many young people come to college with a very poor grounding in the faith, really non-existent sense of discipleship. And then college is just an incredible experience of there's so many forces contrary to the gospel, both in the hedonistic life and intellectually. The students are kind of led astray very quickly, and they're far away from home, from everything that has supported them. So I got a firsthand look at that. And the priest there was very supportive in encouraging me in my vocation. I eventually came across an American religious community called the Paulist Fathers. They were founded to evangelize the United States. I went after all my immigration stuff had been sorted out, I joined their novitiate and moved to Washington, D.C. But I really had a sense of direct work with people, of wanting to be a parish priest. And so I discerned coming back to the American South, which has always kind of become like an adoptive home. I ended up in Atlanta and then applied to the Archdiocese of Atlanta. And they sent me to seminary in 2008, and I was ordained 2 weeks ago.
Now you're a diocesan priest. How was your formation experience in the seminary?
In 2008, the Archdiocese sent me to Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland. It's in northern Maryland, about 1 hour, 15 minutes north of Washington, D.C. The seminary experience, it's a very intense experience. Part of it is being in a fish tank. If you feel like everyone's looking at you all the time and evaluating, I'm sure you understand, Father. But there's two things that really deepened my walk with the Lord at the seminary. First is the spiritual formation that we got at the Mount. And the emphasis really is on the priority of prayer, and the priority of contemplation, and that active life flows out of prayer. So Mount priests are known for being very diligent about praying the Liturgy of the Hours, saying Mass every day, this grounding in prayer. And that's really what I really got from there, which really deepened my relationship with Jesus Christ and has really kind of, I think, formed me to be a priest, to really bring people closer to Christ and bring Christ to them. I think without that foundation of prayer, especially in today's world, things can get very, very difficult. The second beautiful reality of the Mount is the fraternity in the house. There's about 170 men who are at the seminary. It's one of the largest theologates in the country. And they're from all different backgrounds, different countries. But there's a genuine fraternity, a genuine love among the brothers. We get along well. Yeah, there's minor, you know, friction here and there. But we really do enjoy being around each other. There's a real sense of love for the church, love for the Lord, a real zeal there that has been very inspiring. And that sense of fraternity is something that I think I carry with me as I start my priestly ministry in the Archdiocese. I have good fraternal relationships with priests in my Archdiocese and elsewhere as well. I think that'll be very supportive and helpful.
Since your decision to become a Catholic priest, how is your relationship with your family?
That was probably more difficult, I think, for them. than my becoming a Christian. But eventually, I think they both my father and my mother in their own way kind of came around to see that this is something that is going to make me happy, that's going to make me fulfilled. And really, if you think about it, that's what a parent wants. That's what a mother and a father wants. My father passed away 6 years ago from cancer, and I was very, very grateful to be able to be with him when he was ill and also be with him when he passed away.
That time, you must have been in the seminary.
I was in the novitiate with the Paulists, and they were very, very gracious in letting me take some time off and to go spend time with my family. Since then, I have been able to go back to India regularly to spend time with my mother, and we talk periodically. We'll have theological and philosophical conversations, but they're supportive. And my mother, my brother, and his family came from India for my ordination, and all my extended family who are in the States, whole bunch of cousins, second cousins, uncles, aunts, they all came to Atlanta 2 weeks ago. I think about 30 Gujaratis sitting in the pews for both the ordination and the first mass. So I was very moved by that, very grateful to the Lord, and it was a beautiful expression of their familial love and support.
Thank you, Father Gaurab. That was the second part of an interview with Father Gaurab Shroff. In the third part of this interview next week, Father Gaurab will share with us his outstanding faith experiences. You have been listening to The Faithful Witness, our weekly series based on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world. Our faithful witness today has been Indian-born American diocesan priest Gaurab Shroff. If you have a faith experience to share with us, let us know. Visit our website, radiovaticana.va.